Hey, before we jump into today's episode, you often hear me talk about the four keys to redefine hustle on this show: define, direct, discipline, and develop. Do you ever wish you could be sitting beside me and I could walk you through those keys and applying them to your business? Well, guess what? Now you can. I've created the Four Keys 5-day audio devotional just for you. In this devotional, every day for 5 days, you'll get a short audio dropped right in your email to walk you through each of the keys and how to apply them immediately in your business. I know you're excited to get it, so go to erinharrigan.com/4keys devotional or click the link in the show notes. Hey, my fellow high-achieving sister in Christ. Ever wonder if it's possible to be ambitious and let God lead at the same time? Does the hustle fuel your adrenaline, but you want to ditch the overachievement and pursue success with clarity, serenity, and fulfillment? If your outward success doesn't match your inner unrest and unfulfillment, then this podcast is for you. Welcome to Redefining Hustle, Pursuing Success as a Christian Woman. I'm Erin Harrigan, a Christian wife, emptiness mom, entrepreneur, and recovering overachiever who felt those same things. When I prayed for a better way to work, God responded, "Let me drive." And then he led me to help women like you through my speaking, coaching, and writing. My mission is teaching you that success doesn't require buying into the world's frantic definition of hustle or into the so-called anti-hustle movement. Instead, you can meet me right here in the middle to redefine hustle as you pursue success with God as your CEO. Each week, we'll spend a focused 15 minutes connecting biblical truth to business with practical application so you can tune out the world, tune into God's truth, and turn up focus. Does that sound like what you need today? Great. Then buckle up and let's go. Well, welcome back to Redefining Hustle, Pursuing Success as a Christian Woman. You know, throughout this podcast, I am really careful about bringing on guests that the Holy Spirit puts in front of me and that I know and trust can pour into this audience that he's given me to serve. And so today I am thrilled and honored to have one of my very best, oh my gosh, I'm going to get tearful. One of my very best friends and sisters in Christ, Dr. Sherry Yoder. Dr. Sherry has such an incredible message for us in reminding us that we are redeemed, and that is the truth. But how do we walk that out? So Sherry, welcome to the show. And I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself, and then we're just going to let the Holy Spirit take it from there.
Amen. Sounds good to me, Erin. I like that kind of conversation. The way I prepared for our conversation today was really to just pray and ask the Lord to be here. So we'll see what he's going to do. I feel the same way about you, Erin. I'm very thankful for the history. You've played a big part in my own journey of coming to the place where I finally feel and think and live like I am redeemed. And so you've had a front row seat to that. So I'm excited to see, you know, where you want the conversation, where the Lord wants a conversation to go today. But for your audience, I don't really know what to say when people say, tell me about you. I'll say this, that I'm a lover of the Lord. I'm a lover of the Lord. I'm a delighter in the Lord. I am someone who pursues his truth above everything else. Yeah. And it's just my desire to share that with others. And how I do that is a lot of different ways. But that's who I am, is I'm a seeker and a teacher of God's wisdom.
It has been so beautiful to watch it unfold because, you know, so often we, in our own strength and mind and power, think we know where we're going and we know what we know his assignment. We know what he's given us to do. But man, don't we try to do that in our own strength. And it has been such a beautiful opportunity for me to observe it. For those of you that don't know, Dr. Sherry and I collaborated on a show on YouTube called The Proverbial Masterminds, which started in November 2020 and went through 2022, right?
2023.
It's just so beautiful. And I will put that link in the show notes. but I've had this front row seat. So what I would love to start with, Sherry, is how did you come to really embrace and accept God's definition of you being redeemed? Mm-hmm. And then how has that then been your marching orders to go and share mindset of the redeemed?
Yeah. That's a good question. And it's something that I would say I didn't set out to find my identity in Christ. What I set out to do is what I had. Now I'm going to get teary. What I had on my wall for a long time, which is Matthew 6:33. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I wasn't even in a place where I wanted something from the Lord anymore. I just wanted him. Because everything else, all of my other pursuits, my pursuits to get to him, like through a back door or through what he could do for me, everything was just falling flat. And so I didn't know that my identity wasn't in Christ. I kind of had head knowledge of that, but I didn't understand the implications for the fact that I didn't really believe that. I didn't have a heart knowing that I was in Christ. I didn't really know what that meant, because if I did, then my thoughts and my feelings and my actions would have been aligned with that, but they weren't. They were misaligned, right? And so I didn't even know that's what I needed. So what I found is that through him, I found, number one, who he is, and then number two, who I was to him. So I think that is something, it is so foundational, not just to the Christian faith in general, but it's so foundational to living this abundant life that Jesus promised, is the simplicity of seeking him. And I fear, Aaron, that the reason that I lived like this for most of my life, and that so many other people are living like this, which leads to the ministry piece and why I'm sharing this, my experience with everybody, is because we've lost the simplicity of our faith. We've lost the foundation of what God has called us to. You know, you talk a lot about achieving and having, you know, fighting against the spirit of striving and kind of resting in the Lord. Well, again, we start to get, we can say, okay, great. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I love the Lord. He loves me. And then bam, back down to earth we are, trying to figure out the next step with the business, trying to figure out the next step with a relationship, the next step with finances, whatever it is. And so then we go to the end, right? As opposed to the process. And we can't ignore the process. And the process is a deep, persistent, abiding relationship with the Lord himself. And that comes through the seeking of him, through the reading of his word. So that's what I started doing. And what he showed me along the way is what culminated in the mindset of the redeemed.
Mm. Sherry, I've had that seat beside you, but I'm so curious for those watching and listening. What was it that woke you up to, oh my gosh, I've got to seek more? Because from my perspective, having known you since 2020-ish, or 2019, like, you've always been seeking, right? I mean, you seem so strong in your faith, which I think is a whole other thing about how we look at others and see, yeah, but you don't see behind the scene. I wonder if it was one thing. And the reason I ask is because I feel in my spirit that there are people watching going, but how do I know, Sherry? Like, how do I hear him? Or what was that one thing, or maybe that series of things?
Yeah, well, I would say that the one overarching thing is coming to the absolute end of yourself and understanding how empty we are, and how, you know, we live in a culture, Aaron, that loves to get us to kind of hype ourselves up and we're so amazing and, you know, say these affirmations in the mirror. And that's seeped into the church too. But beyond that, we have to get to a place where we realize that without God, not only are we nothing, but we can have nothing apart from Him. We can have nothing good apart from the Lord. And so the one thing, I don't know, I was in a relationship that was taking me further and further and further away from the Lord. And I was living in this constant state of turmoil, inner turmoil. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't what God had for me. But here I was, and I had landed in this mess. We were living together at the time. I had landed in this mess. I had shut down my clinical psych practice. I had become financially dependent on him. And my life was so devoid of the joy, the peace that passes understand. It was filled with like I was on a boat just being tossed back and forth. That's how my life felt all the time. And all the time I was like, does God still love me? Does God still love me? You know, just kind of this constant anxiety about that. And so I remember in my prayers, I was like, Lord, I need you to restore this relationship. So I was, in that sense, I was seeking the Lord, right? Because I never left the Lord, but I certainly ran way out ahead of him and said, I'm going to do things my way, right? Because you're not giving me the relationship of my dreams. I'm going to go find it. And look what I did. I turned it into a big fat mess, right? And so he was bringing me back. And that's the faithfulness. That's the mercy of the Lord. The mercy is his long suffering with us to be able to get to the place where we see our need for him at an all out, flat out need for him. And so even that relationship and coming to this place of such brokenness of my spirit, where I was fighting to get this man to love me, who would never love me, could never love me, whatever you want to say. Nobody loves me like Jesus. And I was fighting for that. And that is not the life that God calls us to. He calls us to a life of peace and rest, right? And so what happened is in my prayers for asking him to restore, I was seeking a little bit, but once he gets in there, once you start seeking him, he starts to turn your heart. And I think it's Psalm 46:10. No, not 46:10, 34, that says he grants us the desires of our heart. What that is as we start to seek him, as we acknowledge our need for him, he starts to shift our desires. Mm-hmm. And so one day, Aaron, that prayer, I had stopped praying, would you restore this? And one morning I woke up, I wrote about this in my book that's hopefully coming out this year. I just woke up and I was crying and I just said, restore it, Lord. And then I said, or remove it. And I said that aloud, and that was not certainly something that I had been praying for, but the Holy Spirit was testifying of the truth,
that's right,
preparing me, right? Because I had turned my heart to the Lord and said, Lord, I've made a mess of things and I need you to come in and fix it. And so he prepared me to remove it, and he did remove it. So that was the very start. And that was back in 2019. So it just starts with the positioning.
Yes.
Saying, I don't have it right. I don't have it right. Clean up on aisle Sherry.
A couple of things that are coming up for me here is what I'm taking away from what you're saying is that if we are feeling that restlessness and that constant searching and that constant, like getting, I love what you said, getting out ahead of the Lord, because I know that I have that challenge myself. And so many high achievers do. Because we're like, well, if I just duplicate that or I just multiply, like it's going to happen. And God's like, no, no. Mm-mm. So be aware of those things, friends. Be aware of those moments. If you feel like you're in a season of striving, if you feel like you're in a season of like, I'm doing all the things, but not seeing the results, that like every day we want to seek him. Every day we want to turn to him. But what a beautiful mile marker to make that shift. And then the other thing, the other day I shared a meme with some friends and it said, I said, God, I'm done. And he said, good, now I can do work. Right.
Yeah, right.
So getting out of our own way. Mm-hmm. And to me, just your willingness and your bravery, because it is brave, even though he makes us to desire him to lead us, it is brave in a world that tells you you can do it on your own and you have to go do it and you have to make it happen and all the things it tells us.
Yeah.
It is brave to admit, no, I can't.
Yeah.
And I think that, not to go too deep into what happened next, but I mean, your story is a testimony to like, and then it didn't just automatically get better.
No. Oh my goodness. No, that's no. And so, but here's what happened is as I kept on, you know, I kept holding on to him and I said, you know, I mean, I was like the snotty daughter, right? That's like, well, I know I'm supposed to do things your way, but look at what's going on in my life. Like, where are you? You know? Yeah. And so he had a lot. He had a lot of cracking open to do. Mm. He had a lot of work to remove the hardness, the things that, the beliefs that I had, the practices that I had that had really calcified my heart in a way. Mm. And my seeking diligently really turned in to an all-in, I can't get up early enough now to seek him. It wasn't always that way, right? And so people say things like, I wish I had your faith, or I wish I had your diligence, or I wish I had your desire to read the word. It wasn't always that way.
Yeah.
But that is what seeking the Lord does.
Yes.
Is it takes that, he takes that hunger and he expands it. And you're like hungry, hungry, hungry all the time. And he keeps saying, here's more, here's more, here's more, here's more. And as you do that, you start to become less and less and less and less. And literally your decisions start to change without really trying, because you start to understand who he is and then how important and how valuable you are to him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even, I don't want to do those things. It's, I don't do those things because that's not me.
Right.
I'm redeemed.
Yeah.
That's who I am. I'm restored. Right. I'm made new. I'm all of these things. And so now my, all of my days are spent anchoring myself to this, number one. And when you're anchored to that, it's saying, no, that doesn't belong. Yes, this belongs. No, that doesn't belong. Yes, this belongs. And really, it's about showing up and just seeking him. I want to highlight that. I know that maybe you and I had talked about perhaps speaking about diligence today, but this is the diligence.
Amen.
The diligence is in getting to know him even when you don't know how to do it right.
Yes. Yes. Because diligence, like we can be diligent in our business, but the point I want to make here, which is exactly what you just said, is that as followers of Jesus, our diligence is diligence in being with him and building that relationship with him and starting and ending. Like I talk to my clients about bookending our days with him, talking to him all day long, whatever that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. That's the diligence. Mm-hmm. Even when we don't see the fruit.
Especially when.
That's right.
Especially when, you know, like, I mean, you've seen that. Aaron, you've seen that in my life where I'm like, I'm seeking the Lord, but man, he's not showing up.
Yes.
Like, where is he? What is going on? Right. And so we have to be willing. That's what diligence means. It means persisting without the outcome that we had hoped for. It means I am not going to let go of you. It means even if you don't do the things that I want you to do, even if you don't do those things, I will serve you. I'll share one really quick story. If we have like a minute to share.
Yeah, go. Yeah, we had time.
Okay. So during that time, during that season, after I had left my relationship, ended up moving to another state to be closer to my parents, a lot of things that happened by God's divine hand that I had nothing to do with. He had orchestrated all of this. And it was a response to my obedience, right? Because he saw my heart. Now, again, it wasn't this, okay, day one, I was obedient to everything. No, he spent some time, a few years, taking off some of the stuff, right?
That's
I had piled on. And so I mentioned to somebody the other day, sometimes your life takes a minute or two to catch up.
That's right.
To catch up to what you're doing with the Lord. So don't despise the small things. And I remember, I was coaching, and sometimes with coaching, it's like feast or famine, right? If you're in a consulting or coaching business or any kind of self-employment, really, it can be feast or famine. And I remember one particular season, it was like probably a year after I had moved, maybe 2020 or 2021. And I was in a good season, and I was so excited because I was like, ooh, I get to go tithe. And oh, how am I going to do this? I'm going to go tithe to my local municipality, which provides our utilities. And I thought, I know what it's like to struggle to pay my utilities. And so I want to tithe this money to help a family that is in need that can't maybe pay their electric bill. And so I called the municipality. They were like, yeah, that's wonderful. We'll apply it to the person with the greatest need, blah, blah, blah. I said, awesome. Okay. Fast forward like 3 months. And here I was in a famine season. And my electric bill was coming due. So this is how God teaches us if we're willing. My electric bill was coming due. And I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to pay this, Lord. Like, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. And this is not, by the way, this is not a happy ending story that you might be looking for. And so I was out in the backyard. I was out in the backyard picking up poop from the dogs. Yeah, really glamorous. And I'm out there and I'm just tears streaming down my face. I'm like, God, I'm doing everything you want, which I wasn't. Right? Like, I know there were things that I had in my life that he said, you need to stop. But I was like, little by little. And so I'm out there and I'm crying and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to pay this electric bill on time. And he just stopped me and he said, he brought up the picture of the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the fire. And he said, what did they say before they were thrown into the fire? They said to Nebuchadnezzar, even if God doesn't save us, we won't bow to you. And he was asking me in that moment, even if I don't provide for you to pay that electric bill on time, will you bow to your flesh, to your frustration? Will you leave me here? Or will you say, you are still good? And in that moment, I just said, you are still good, Lord, and you're in control. I stopped crying and I went on about my business. I did not pay my utility bill on time. I ended up paying it maybe a couple of weeks later with a late fee. But here's the deal. That taught me something very, very clear about who God is. You see what seeking him does, being in relationship with him does? It says that he is my provider. He's never going to let my foot stumble. It doesn't mean things aren't going to be late. It doesn't mean you're not going to get a diagnosis. It doesn't mean that a relationship isn't going to have problems. It doesn't mean like your adult child or your adult parent isn't going to have issues that you're going to have to contend with. John 16:33 says, we're going to have trouble in this life, but take heart because I have overcome the world. So it taught me about who God was. And in that moment, it taught me who I was choosing to be. Am I choosing to be a child of God that trusts my Father despite what I see? And so that's just one example of seeking the Lord and how he continues to teach us, especially in the hard.
Yeah. And I love that it wasn't the immediate happy ending, because I think that so often we can get caught in like, well, because this scripture is always taken out of context, right? Seek the Lord and you, right? Like,
yeah.
And he'll give you, or Psalm 37:4. I don't know. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Friends, that does not mean like, well, I want this and therefore he's giving
it. That's right.
No. As you pointed out, when we were talking about my book back in 2020 and you were helping me with the editing, like it's that those desires come from him. And so the Amen. Desires change. The desires
yes, they do.
Change. Yeah, that is so beautiful, Sherry. So what is it to have the mindset of the redeemed? Like, what does that even look like?
Yeah. So really, it's a process. It's a process. It's not a step. It's not like, you know, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or here's a checklist. It's a process of every day seeking him. I sandwich it this way, and I'll just share this picture with you and the listeners because it's really a powerful picture. So seeking the Lord means that you are acknowledging that he's in control, that he is sovereign, that he is omnipotent, that he is the creator, and that you are subservient to him. It is about positioning yourself properly, okay, number that's right. one. And that's every day positioning yourself properly in what you think, in what you feel, and in what you do, okay? So that starts with seeking him very basically. I'm aligning myself. And then I sandwich that with, you went through my 7-week mindset of the redeemed discipleship experience. And then I sandwich that with the last lesson is this positioning ourselves properly. In the heavenly realms. Okay. So this is not, people say all the time, this is not our home. And it is not our home. If you are renewed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, this is not your home. You have been born again and you have been raised to new life with Christ, as Paul talks about in Colossians. But that means, that requires us to think, feel, and do in that position from that vantage yes. point, not from what we see, not from what we feel, not from what we touch, not right. Like we have to make our decisions about how to think based on where our minds actually are and they're with Christ. And so that means aligning our thoughts, feelings, and choices with God's word. And that's a process. It's an every day. It's not even every day, Erin. It's moment by moment.
Moment. Yes.
It's every moment. It's aligning ourselves. And I use the picture of the sunflower. So, and there's, I have a lot more significance to this, but the sunflower is really quite the lesson for us as humans. So the sunflower was created by the Lord, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he created all of these things, including the sunflower. And the sunflower, what it does is it follows the sun.
That's right.
It follows the S-U-N, but it also follows the S-O-N. I get that right. Right? Yes. And so here's what happens with the sunflower. The sunflower has a big, heavy head. And at night, that head, by the way, has seeds, produce fruit. At night, it hangs its heavy head. And then in the morning, it lifts its head up as it sees the sun. It starts to track the sun all day long. It tracks the sun. And then until it sets, the sun sets in the west and the sunflower hangs its head, and then it repositions itself to wake again in the morning with the sun. So this is about tracking. It is about tracking, positioning myself in the proper place. I don't pay attention. Oh, I have a bill that's due. That's not where I'm at. I'm right here with you, Lord. I'm not taking my eyes off of you. You tell me what to do, and that's what I'll do. And it's positioning ourselves to track him and not take our eyes off of him. Because when we take our eyes off of him, like Peter,
yes,
we flounder.
And I love the practicality of this. Like you said, it's not a 1, 2, 3, and it is a moment by moment, but it is in knowing that when we have the moments of doubt and distraction and discontentment, which we're going to have because
yes.
the enemy seeks to kill, maim, and destroy,
yep.
that we can come back to that, that we can come back to that. And tying this into redefining hustle, like that's it. Like that is how we redefine it. Because I always say the hustle isn't the issue. The hustle is how we define and pursue it. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus hustled, but everywhere in the Bible, we know that Jesus worked with intention and purpose, that he had a limited amount of time. So he had to be smart with his time, which of course he was perfect and he could be, but he didn't say, oh, by the way, I'm God. I can do all this. No. He's seeking. I mean, even the perfect, sinless Jesus still seeking his father. Oh, and by the way, still having the human moments of like you said earlier, right? Like restore or remove, right?
Yeah.
Let this cup
right.
pass me by.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the last few minutes, and I have loved every minute of this conversation. What do we do to accept and embrace that we are redeemed? And maybe it's just a reminder of what you've already said, but how can we do that every moment by moment? Mm-hmm. And then what does that mean for us as business leaders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, very simply put, so I have two businesses, right? So I have my personal ministry, which is Mindset of the Redeemed. And then I have a more public service ministry, a nonprofit called Thriving Thoughts Global. And both of those have unique visions that the Lord has placed on my heart. The nonprofit takes God's truth and inserts it into the world's mental health system without saying so. And Mindset of the Redeemed takes the world's garbage out of the believer's thinking. And so for the believer who is also the business owner, for the believer who is in a relationship, for the believer who is raising children, for the believer who is in friendships, for you. One of the things for everyone watching, right? So one of the most practical pieces of strategy that I could give you to implement this is to keep your capacity to choose in front of you. Mm. So when I'm talking about capacity to choose, I'm particularly talking about taking every thought captive. So if you find yourself worrying as a business leader about the outcome, God has equipped you, says so in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10:5, I think, that we've been equipped to take every thought captive and bring it into obedience of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So what does that require? It requires that you know Scripture. It requires that you're in Scripture every day. Okay. You don't have to memorize it. You don't have to memorize it. That's the beautiful thing about seeking God. Yeah. You seek Him primarily through His Word, and the Holy Spirit does the work of writing His Word on your heart. Okay. Yeah. So there's not striving involved. It's showing up and being in relationship. And then in every moment, ask yourself a simple question. What am I choosing right now? Am mm-hmm. I choosing to think like the redeemed child of God that He says I am? Am I choosing to raise my mind to new life with Christ? Am I choosing to feel according to Scripture? Am I choosing to take my feelings to the Lord, or am I choosing mm-hmm. to rely on my feelings to give me the wisdom of how to operate? Because one of those is redeemed mindset. One of those is not. Mm-hmm. Am I this action that I'm taking right now? Is there anything about it that doesn't feel right, that feels unsettled? Well, that's not redeemed because the redeemed decision is confident, is assured, right? That comes from the Lord. So if you're feeling that, then no, you don't follow through with that because that's not who you are.
Yes.
And if that means you wait, you wait.
Yeah.
Right? So it's every moment. What am I choosing right now? Am I choosing to be who God says I am? And more importantly, am I choosing to believe that God is who He says He is? Mm,
that's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Oh, Sherry, I can't, the comments are like, whoa. I can't wait for it to go back and read all of them.
Can I share this to my YouTube channel?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. There's a yes, for sure. Tell everyone how can we find you, both from a Mindset of the Redeemed perspective, but also Thriving Thoughts Global.
Yeah. So at Thriving Thoughts Global on Instagram, Facebook. We're really trying to build our Instagram following. So if you want a little mental health tidbit every day, that's the ticket to it. And you can check out our website, thrivingthoughtsglobal.org. We have a lot of things that we offer to help you keep your mental health in check from a truth-based perspective, by the way. And then for Mindset of the Redeemed, you can follow me at dr.sherryspeaks on Instagram. Or you can go subscribe to my YouTube channel, which I'm revamping, and that's at dr.sherryspeaks as well. And then I'm building a new website, which you can have, there's one page up right now that you can go and sign up, send me your email, and I'm getting ready to start a monthly email, to bring to people. And that's mindsetoftheredeemed.com.
Oh, so beautiful. Sherry, thank you for being here. Thank you for being brave and bringing this forward. I know that it's obedience. I know that. And it's still brave. it's brave to be obedient, right? But obedience is the only way to do it. And thank you for the light that you bring to the world. And selfishly, thank you for the light that you are in my life. It is such a joy, of course, to call you sister in Christ, but also to call you friend. So thank you for being here, friend. Listen, all of the links to connect with Sherry will be in the show notes. I've been posting them as we go. So please, please, please connect with her. And if this is a place that you struggle, which we all do, definitely connect with her. And I mean, certainly connect with me if you're looking for, you know, a biblical business coach as well. So for all of you, I pray that this blessed you. And I pray, as I do at the end of every single episode, and encourage you to tune out the world. It's very loud and noisy, and you were not made to listen to it, to tune into God's truth.
Amen.
Be diligent in seeking him and to turn up your focus, because the Lord has given you a mission in the marketplace and all things are only ever possible through him. So thank you all for tuning in today. I'll see you on the next
episode. Thank you, Erin.
Hey, don't forget to go get your hands on the new Four Keys audio devotional to walk through these four keys as if I'm sitting right beside you. You can grab it at erinharrigan.com/4keys devotional or click the link in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in to Redefining Hustle, Pursuing Success as a Christian Woman each week. I pray this show helps you to see that God made you ambitious, but he didn't make you to do business as usual. Remember to check the show notes for my free resources and other helpful links. If this episode spoke to you, take a screenshot, share it with a friend, or share it on social and tag me. I'm praying for you, friend, that you'll embrace redefining hustle, and in turn, your business will produce much fruit and impact his kingdom in greater ways than you could ever do in your own strength.